Welcome to an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I know there are a lot of great podcasts out there. I'm listening to them. Of course, right now, I am legit only listening to fantasy football podcasts. I mean, that's real. It's that time of the year. We just finished, almost finished, week two in the NFL. It's Monday right now when I'm recording. We got two games tonight, a doubleheader in the NFL, and here we are catching up, and after the live stream last Friday, so if you're listening to this podcast, you can also watch it every Friday night. I host a live stream on my YouTube channel, so the video component drops, and then it is there forever, so you can go back and catch up on other episodes, but we sit in the chat, and it's a great time to really just kind of engage with my community of everyone that's there on Friday nights. It's the perfect like unwind to the Friday night, and last week, I wasn't at my computer. I was done with my computer for the day. So I was like doing it by the phone, you know, just kind of laying cozy, watching a little TV in the background. And I was listening to the monologue of me leaving for Vegas for that trip. And though I knew that day as I was recording, which was last Sunday, I knew I was going to be traumatized by the fact that it was week one in the NFL. And I wasn't able to just be on my couch all day watching games. To me, these 20 plus weeks in the NFL are my mental and emotional recharge from life. For 10 hours straight, I think about nothing other than what other people are doing. I'm not worried about what I'm doing at all. I'm worried about what other people are doing. I'm worried about my quarterback getting to the receiver that I need in a fantasy league. I'm worried about a receiver catching a ball that I'm facing in a fantasy league. I'm worried about everything but myself, and it's just so relaxing. And I look forward to it, and I know that the more games I watch, the better I'm going to be on my Wednesday night shows on the Better Sports Network and Fantasy Alarm. We live stream on YouTube, making it really easy for everybody to access the show. It's every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And so watching every game, taking notes, preparing for the show, and then knowing that we'll also be talking about the following week as the show is on Wednesdays, it kind of gives you the best of both worlds. You get to recap what helped you, what hurt you in your fantasy teams from the week before, and what you're expecting for the week after. So I was traumatized minorly when I recorded the monologue because I knew I was going to miss games. But what I did not know until I got to the airport was this. The airport is currently, this is JFK, at this time, because it was like the last round of it. I get it. It's very important. But they were catering to U.S. Open travelers. So a lot of people flying in and out of JFK to go to the U.S. Open. And there was no bars with TVs with football on. I was like, oh my gosh, like here I am, got YouTube on my iPad with not the best airport Wi-Fi. Of all times, I forgot my personal router. So I was like, oh no, I've got to use this janky Wi-Fi that's going to bump me out, make me come back in every 20, 30 minutes. I'm listening to the play-by-play on Sirius XM, which is pretty cool. Because if you want to listen to play-by-play in sports, the Sirius XM app allows you to choose the home or away broadcast. I always find that to be super fun because if you're a fan of the home or the away team, you get a different slant on the broadcasters. And it's just a really like, you feel like you're there. You don't feel like you're there though when you're at the airport surrounded by chaos and you find out that your flight is delayed and then your gate has moved. And then you got a new gate and a new flight and now 4 hours has gone by and you're getting onto a plane that just so happened not to pass the inspection, but they didn't tell us that till we boarded. And we sat there for about 2 hours with no AC, and it was a hot night. So now where everybody's getting fidgety, they're telling people that we can get off the plane and stand in the walkway, but we can't go to the gate. So they won't unlock the door on the other end. So we're like trapped, right? So the woman next to me asks me if I have the cube for charging. She only had her charger with the USB port and these planes didn't have USB. You had to have the cube. So I was like, no problem at all. Here you go. Boom. Charge there. I'll be fine for now. I have a backup charger. So as we're now finding out, we're going to deplane this plane and hopefully get right back on it, but they're still not sure. We're now going on hour six. Mind you, this was a total 9 hour delay. So I figure, well, whatever, I say to her, like, grab the charger. I figure I'm going to see her when we get on our next flight because we're sitting by each other. So an hour goes by. We move gates again. Now an announcement comes up. By the way, the app is not syncing with what's happening at the airport. So everyone feels compelled to get in line, ask the same questions to the people at the counter, which makes me just want to stand far enough away to listen to everyone's questions and listen to the gate agent's answers and see if I can survey myself. What I surveyed myself was a little after midnight. Now, mind you, I had been at the airport since 3:30. A little after midnight, my flight was supposed to be at 5. A little after midnight, there was a flight coming in from Dominican DR, and they would have to put the plane through customs, deplane about an hour. We should have a flight. This plane that the flight we were taking needed to be in Vegas for the Monday morning departure. So no matter what, that plane had to be there. I was like, okay, all right, I can wait. Well, guess what? Now everything in the airport is closed. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. And mind you, let me go back to before. I ordered a glass of wine. There's these new little stands at JFK. And you have to order everything on this app. Okay, no problem. The waitress does not like her job. She was not pleasant. And so she's like, you have to order on the app. I'm like, no problem. I ordered on the app. I said to her, okay, I ordered. She goes, you have to order on the app. We went back and forth for about 40 minutes. So finally I said to her, I ordered on the app and you could see how long ago. Here is my transaction. She's like, oh, I didn't see it. By the time she gives me my glass, gets ready to give me my glass of wine, we're boarding. And I can't wait any longer. And she didn't take it off. So I'm down $24. Okay. $24 for a glass of wine that I never got. Now we get back on this plane after sitting at the airport with everything closed. Most of us are a little bit damp because we sweat so much on the first place. So it's cold. And I see my seatmate and I ask her for my charging cube. She only grabbed her charger. So now I'm down $24 and a charging cube. Mind you, I also had forgotten my JetBlue earbuds, the ones that stick in. And I could have sat there and been watching games. I asked the flight attendant. She's like, no, we can't do that till we take off. I'm like, I usually bring them. I have them. The lady over from me heard me asking and said, look, you just lost your charging cube. Here, I have a spare set of the plugins. I was like, okay, I'm down one thing, up another. This is all working out. This is all working out. The long and the short of it is I now know not to travel on a football Sunday. I could have got in there on Saturday and watched games at a hotel room on Sunday. I could have done any of the things, but I was just at the burnout point of travel. It's my 7th trip to Vegas. I wanted to make it as short of a trip as possible. And I thought I was doing myself a favor by being here to record on Sunday morning for the monologue for last week's episode with the amazing Hutch. Hutchinson Brown was my guest last week. Lesson learned. So get into Vegas around 5:30, 6 a.m., check into the hotel, getting picked up pretty much early in the morning to shoot promos during the day, go out. I always go to the dry bar when I'm in Vegas so I don't have to check a bag. See, my hack is if I don't bring hair stuff, I don't have to check a bag. I can minimize my makeup. I can put everything in a carry-on. And for a trip that long, there's no way you're checking a bag. Glad I didn't check a bag because it would have been one more thing to worry about as we were gate bouncing and trying to figure out what plane we were taking. So I get into Vegas, I do my thing for the very first time. I never even knew that there was a parking lot now near the Welcome to Las Vegas sign. And I had to go and get photos there because mainly I'm doing a Monday night minute. So it's a betting pick every Monday for Sapphire Las Vegas. I'll be shooting these clips on Mondays. They'll be collabing. We'll be putting them out on social media. And I was like, you know, for my first one, I'm in Vegas. I hired a different crew there through my friend Spencer. And I was like, I just want to have a local crew so I don't have to bring everybody in for this short trip. And so we went to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign to shoot the betting pick. And they're like, hey, we should try and get there as early as possible because it won't be crowded. And I'm like, early is not going to work because I just got in. Let me take a little nap. I'll be ready by like 11. And that I was. And it's pretty cute. There's a parking lot over there so you can park. People just wait in a very orderly fashion in line. And whoever's next goes up. And there's a couple of angles where you can take a picture. And it looks like there's nobody there but you. So there's three lines of this going. I was like, this is probably one of the most self-regulated successes I've ever seen. The Vegas sign. Everybody's just excited to get a couple cool photos. I got mine. I'll pop it in right here. So if you do join the podcast and the video component, you get to see these extra photos that Kay so kindly edits in for me. But it was cool. I was like, okay, this is cool. Then we went back, wanted to shoot a little bit more content for the club. I had some t-shirts. I'm going to do some promo. And then I was getting picked up at 4. So we're back by 3, tinker around with the reel. Next thing you know, I've got to change, put on a little bit more makeup and get ready to go in. going to the club. I pack my carry-on with me because I'm going directly from the club to the airport. Knowing that my flight would be delayed, I booked a 9:55 return, knowing that the game doesn't end till about 9 on West Coast time, but just knowing that with all the storms that were happening and the fact that this flight that I'm taking, this New York to Vegas, back and forth JFK, is going to be dealing with these storms as well. I mean, as I was listening to the Cowboys-Giants game from the airport, I was totally understanding why we were having delays, even though our plane was damaged as well, but the other flights were behind taking off. So I do the event. A bunch of my friends came in. Vic came in. It was so great to see everybody and just kind of get to hang out and watch the game that ended, if you ask me, in the first 4 minutes when Aaron Rodgers got injured. This is not anybody, nobody that loves sports wants to see this. As a true fan of sports, athletes, and the entire world that revolves around sports in any sport, when I see a player get injured, especially a season-long, but potential season-long ending injury, I think nobody wants to end their career like this. Nobody wants the game taken from them. They want to be done when they're done. And it's heartbreaking, right? You put so much work into preparing for this season, and then you get injured within the first 4 minutes. Aaron Rodgers, we are all sending you so much love. And I saw on TMZ that a hyperbaric chamber was getting delivered to your place. This is going to be the ultimate fast track. I think it's so cool because, you know, I've recently got into the hyperbaric chamber. I'm going regularly now, 1 hour a week, and it's life-changing. I absolutely love it. I can see a huge difference in so many things, and I'll get to that in another solo episode. But so this happens in the game. And all my friends are just like sitting around talking. And I'm like, did you guys not see what's happening? Like, did you not see what's happening? But my pick was the Jets would win the game. The total points would be under. Both of those things hit, made me very happy. It's not how I thought the Jets would win the game, but here we are. And that's how quickly things can change in the NFL. So if you're managing a fantasy team, that's how quickly everything changes for you. Because as I was sitting in that game, I realized I have Aaron Rodgers in about 7 leagues. I only played him in 2 that week only because they were facing the Bills. Bills have a great defense. And I thought to myself, this is not a smart first matchup for me to play him. But in the 2 leagues that I did play him, of course, that hurt me. So you start to think right away as a fantasy team manager, okay, now I got to go on the waiver wire. I've got to see who's out there. Maybe ask for a trade. There's got to be a way for me to get another strong quarterback as my backup or find a backup on the wire. So I decided like, okay, my flight was delayed. I find out my flight's leaving at like midnight. So I hung out at the club for a little bit after the game. And then George, just the greatest manager in the whole entire world, drove me to the airport. And on the way there, we were talking. And I'm like, look, I am hitting the waiver wire so hard while I'm sitting at this airport waiting for this flight. I am going to study who's available. I'm going to memorize my league mates that have too many players in one position. And I'm going to build a note section in my phone that is unbreakable for the season, allowing me to be ahead of the game. I want to do a lot more trading this year. I think we grab scraps on the waiver wire. Sometimes it's a wait and see approach. Sometimes somebody likes a player more than you. Sometimes you have too many good wide receivers scoring points on your bench, but you could use some running back help. And there's a league mate that has that same reverse problem. Running backs on their bench scoring points. So I did that. It's like, okay, again, though. Future me, past me. Future me, current time, me at the airport thinking about how proud I was that past me already recorded last week's monologue. Because had I not, who knows what time I'm getting home on Tuesday and who knows how tired I'm going to be. So as we're sitting at the gate in Vegas, I realized like, okay, there's these 2 guys and they're hella drunk. I couldn't get a window on this flight. I have an aisle and I'm Mosaic. So I board first and I'm on the plane. Like all these people are boarding and I'm like, what are the chances? I feel like it was almost like magnetic, right? It was almost like something. I was like, what are the chances these 2 drunk guys sit by me? Oh, the chances are damn good. As good as my bet hit was they hit. So I'm connected because I'm using the headphones at JetBlue that the woman so kindly gave me when she heard the other woman lost my cube for charging. And I got something SportsCenter or something on. I love the DirecTV. I love that JetBlue has all those channels, but I don't love JetBlue like I love American, but I'm saying the TV thing is great. So they get on. They got some pizza. They open this pizza. I'm like, great. There's something worse than smelling food on a plane. You just, but whatever. I'm not going to say anything. They offer me a slice of pizza. I, of course, do as I always do. I'm listening to something. I'm looking at something. I don't have to respond to you if I don't want to, right? That was not good enough. Kid puts his hand on my thigh and says, it's going to be a long flight. We should get to know each other. Now, my blood is boiling. Absolutely boiling. But I want to get home. We've all dealt with another delay. We were 5 hours delay for this flight. So I can't make a scene. This can't be a whole thing. So I quietly grab my things and get up. There's a flight attendant standing at the center and a couple rows back. I explain to her, hey, I got pretty unlucky. The two drunkest guys sitting next to me, one guy just put his leg on my thigh to try to get to know me. She's like, give me 5 seconds. This woman was so wonderful. She went right over to somebody else. I hope it was an air marshal because it was a big guy. He was on an aisle. He was a couple rows up from me. She grabbed his bag from above. She grabbed my bag from above. She swapped bags. She put him in my seat. She walked me up to my seat. That was it. The whole transaction took this woman a minute. And I have to say, these are things that nobody talks about, is the great things that airlines do. I did write in a nice little email to JetBlue thanking her because that was a big move. She didn't want it to be delayed anymore. She knew I didn't. She knew I wasn't trying to start trouble. I knew I wouldn't be able to fall asleep on that flight, which I was hoping to do, right? It's 4.5 hour night flight. I had just experienced a very long day with a very short amount of sleep. And how am I going to sleep next to these guys? I'm not going to be able to do that. So even better that I was an aisle. It was easy to move me. Kind of worked out well. I would have been even worse in the window. But to say traveling was chaos for a 24-hour trip that turned into an over 40-some-hour trip, to say it was chaos, a straight-up understatement. By the time I got home, I had my Tuesday mapped out where I was going to go cryo and the hyperbaric chamber, come back, work for a couple hours, and just put myself to bed at 8 p.m. Just put myself to bed and get myself back on track. And I'll say that hyperbaric chamber, the way it relaxes you, there's many different uses. And I know one of them that people talk about is, of course, post-recovery surgery, 100% pure oxygen. Nothing's going to help you recover better. Then there's the collagen aspect, hair growth. Like I definitely think it's making my hair grow. All of those things, but there's the anxiety part of it. A lot of people go into the chamber, the hyperbaric chamber, to calm their anxiety. And I could see that because you feel so much calmer when you leave. And it was the perfect day to plan like a recovery day for me, bed at 8 p.m., slept. I woke up on Wednesday and felt like nothing had happened. Felt like I didn't just sit at an airport in different places for a total of almost 14, 15 hours. Feel like 15 hours, 14 hours. Oh my gosh. Feel like that never happened. Felt like I had been on a normal sleep routine. So that recovery day was clutch. And then I got right back at it. So this weekend was going to be my first real football weekend at home. Now, Thursday nights, I watched the game on the big screen at Sapphire 39. It was great. It's turning into a little social thing for me. So I'm killing two birds with one stone. A bunch of my friends from the city came through. Joanna Angel was there. Supreme was there. My friend Christian came with his friend Jerome. A ton. Joe was there. A ton of great people were there. Watched the game there. But on Sunday, I had big plans. Sunday morning bike rides before watching football is like my favorite because I always do the two loops, which gives me 12 miles. Because when I do the two loops and I have a full day planned, I often end up needing a nap or at least to lay down by 3 o'clock. Like I feel it. But when it's a football Sunday, it helps me just be in my big chair all day. The more tired my legs are, the more I am just going to gel into that chair and have no guilt about not moving. Got up early. I went to look on the city bike app. All the e-bikes were taken except like one at a random spot. So I was like, okay, there's one random spot. There's an e-bike there. But you know what? I feel like by the time I get there, one of the new e-bikes is going to be there. I do. I'm putting that out there. And as I walked out of my building, I was putting that out there. I'm going to, you know, take this bike, but I'm going to look around because I know another one's going to show up. Would you believe that the second I pulled out the other e-bike that had no power, so I was just going to have to ride a heavier bike with no power, so I would have just swapped it in and taken the first bike. And I'm going to say, the e-bikes help on the back, I call it the back nine, but the back hills in Central Park, they are killers, okay? They are absolute killers. They are slow, gradual killers that you see most people walking their bikes up, unless you're like one of those riders, those crazy riders that are in this, in the park. Soon as I pull the thing out and realize the situation that I'm in, this wonderful man rolls up on one of the brand new e-bikes. He's like, hey, would you like to have a better bike? This one's so much better. I'm done with it. He clicked it in. He's like, let me adjust your seat for you. Where do you like? You're like, this was like the nicest guy on a Sunday morning in New York City, just making my day. Like, okay, these are all the signs of just New Yorkers are so much friendlier than people give them credit for. If you're a city bike rider, you've met other city bike riders. Our main mission is getting a good bike, right? I also know where I can ride a bike to that's a little bit further, but there's always good bikes there. And sometimes I'll ride the bike to there, click that bike in, and take out a different bike. So there's a lot of options, but I did it. And he was so kind. And I said, thank you. Within a blip, I'm on that bike and I'm riding down the street, getting ready to go to the park. So I was like a little like, okay. By the time I got back, I knew I was going to turn on Fantasy Sports Radio, which I was listening to my whole bike ride as well. Listen to a show on the Better Sports Network as well, and my favorite hosts that are everywhere. So I kind of followed them, and I knew I was going to get back and tinker with my lineups. But ironically, it got incredibly sunny. So as I'm tinkering, and I realize the rooftop pool is open weekends only for the month of September, and then it closes for the rest of the season. It opens at 11. So I'm like, all right, what if we go up there from 11 to 12:30, come back down here, re-tinker with lineups, because that's when all the injuries are going to be who's in, who's out. Decisions will have had to have been made in the 1 o'clock games. And I can do this. And so went upstairs, got a little sun for 90 minutes, was listening to Bob Harris and Jeff Manns, and just enjoyed a little sun, came down, set my lineup, showered, made food, and that was my day. I sat on the couch and enjoyed every single emotional outcome of every game. The good, the bad, the ugly. The Giants comeback that was just unforeseeable. The Dallas Cowboys taking on the Jets defense, which I expected more out of. Poor Zach Wilson having to face the Jets. I having to face the Cowboys for only his second game. I do think this kid's going to be fine. They've got playmakers. Garrett Wilson showed us that during the game. But I feel so good today because I got to do something that I truly love that is just for me, which is watch all of these games and enjoy every single moment. I had the red zone on the big TV, the small TV out in the living room with the standalone that I was working the remote. It's me time. It's something that just is my perfect escape from this world. And that's why it makes sense that this month, as I'm celebrating the beginning of the NFL season, I'm sharing with you conversations from some of my favorite NFL guests. Today's guest and I met on social media. I love his content. We've been following each other for years. We finally got to meet this year at the Fantasy Expo in Canton, Ohio. I bring you my friend Laquan Jones, who you can follow on Instagram at LaquanJonesNFL and on Twitter at RealDealFantasy. The NFL season is here. We could not be more excited. And what kicked things off for me was going to the Fantasy Football Expo and meeting so many amazing people that I have only had an e-relationship with. And that would be one at Real Deal Fantasy. Great name right there on Twitter for my friend Laquan Jones. You can also find and follow on the NFL Network, NFL Fantasy, Downtown Rams, and Roto Baller. Laquan, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invite. This is great. I've always watched your show and, you know, I always want to be like, man, I want to hit her up and be a guest, but here we are.
Here we are. Now, I would ask, here we are, how long you have been here, your pursuit of covering sports on such a high level. When did this start for you, Laquan, and how have you maneuvered through to reach all the channels where we can find you?
Wow. So it all started 4 years ago, actually. And I kind of just wanted to like jump into content once I fell in love with it. And like people always ask me in their leagues, like ask me questions about starting sits and advice and stuff like that. But at this time, I didn't have a channel. I didn't have any outlets to kind of just put it in one spot. Like at this point, I'm texting and emailing, and like I have people at my job ask me questions. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just jump in the content. Let me jump onto YouTube and kind of like do my own thing. And then, you know, you start jumping into YouTube, Facebook. You know, I started over there in some of those fantasy groups, and then I made my way to Instagram, and then I finally found Twitter, which was, you know, a blessing in disguise, because it's like, man,
what a reverse way to go about it. You found Twitter last?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I tell you, like, Facebook is a very hard place to build confidence in your camera presence and pronunciation and being well spoken, and then knowing what you're talking about, doing the research, because everybody on Facebook's kind of toxic. You know, it wasn't that easy trying to maneuver and try to like get content out there and get support. So thankfully I found Twitter. I found a community that's like really together, open arms when I came in and started dropping content. Like I was flooding the timeline with videos and content and stuff like that. Some people were thinking I was crazy, like, yo, when do you sleep?
Well, I mean, Facebook has one thing that you mentioned that can be very valuable when you're starting out, and that's groups, right? Yeah. But when you step onto Twitter and you are in either gambling Twitter or fantasy sports Twitter, it is the coolest pool of people that really like, and look, you can have little banter, you can have arguments, you can debate players, but everybody is so laser focused on gathering information, maybe sharing their opinion. Yeah. That it's a free-flowing space for something like that. Instagram isn't as easy. It's great for content, but it's not as great for engagement, where you're not going back and forth immediately under your thread. Not everybody leaves comments. They might like your post, but they don't always leave feedback. So you really started this organically. What were you doing 4 years ago?
So I was still at the same time working on cars. So 3.5 years, I was at Tesla. As a mechanic. So before that, I was at Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, and I started my early years out of high school working at Nissan for 5.5 years. So I basically was a mechanic doing a 9-to-5 and waking up 6 a.m. like a psycho, recording fantasy football and throwing it on YouTube. So that was my life.
That's amazing. I mean, but at least when you were working on cars, I can only imagine that you were able to listen to sports radio all day, right?
Yes. The Fantasy Footballers, Fantasy Frenzy, the Good Morning Football, a lot of football shows that are just in my ears as I'm ripping apart this car, putting it back together. It's just, that's how I really fell more in love with content creating, because I was able to be around it and listen to it all the time, all day. On my hour drive home coming from work, I'm putting on the Fantasy Footballers or somebody's podcast that I enjoy, you know, having this 45 minute to an hour commute. So it's like, that was just kind of the battery in my pack. Like, I really want to do this and I love this.
And it's amazing, but we're gathering all that information as we're listening to sports radio all day, our favorite podcast, the shows. And when you get to then talk, so I guess when you would wake up the morning before you would go to work, you realize how much you retain. Like, I noticed it in back and forth conversations where like a random player will come up and something will come into my mind that I heard earlier that week, and I'll be able to like, and you're like, oh yeah, all this is soaking in.
This is crazy, because like there's times where I'm like, how did I remember that? Like, I'm doing videos and I'm doing one take, like I'm not doing any breaks. I'm like, how did I do a 5 minute video and not have to edit anything? Like, it's kind of crazy, you know? Like, and it, again, it goes to your passion. If you really want to do this, if you really want to help other people, because that's my big thing. Like, I enjoy the DMs that I get about asking start and sits or if I should trade. Like, some people get annoyed by it because it become overwhelming sometimes, you know, during a season especially. But I like to hear at the end of the year, like, man, thank you for that advice. I can't believe you were so early on this guy. Like, how did you? And it's kind of like rewarding to like let me know I can continue doing this and keep making content. So that's the best thing out of all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like your personal reviews, right? It's like your personal Yelp when you actually help somebody. So I got to ask a couple of mechanic questions, though I want to go sports this whole thing. How different was it working on Teslas as opposed to the other cars that you worked on so far?
I got to say, Tesla was a little intimidating. When I got the call, I was going back and forth with my wife, you know, trying to see if I was going to make the leap to go to a fully electric car, because honestly, I didn't have that much electric experience. And she kind of just motivated me like, hey, you know, you got to jump out the window sometimes, you know, take the opportunity. You never know, hear them out. And I got there, I got the job, and it's completely night and day, but I feel as though working on Teslas were way easier, less headaches. There's no engine. So it's like, I don't have to sit here and try to diagnose why this car is tapping or making this noise or throwing this code. It's kind of like it's a walking iPhone. So it's like kind of easy to diagnose because the car tells you everything that's wrong with it. And I love the car, driving it. I had a work car and I really feel as though like I could see myself buying one and owning one again. So it's like, it's completely night and day, but I think Teslas are easier than any other car on this planet.
Well, yeah, because they're built with their own diagnostic system. And you just said it, it's going to tell you why. And I think that's kind of the missing element that most people don't really think about, right? They think this is new. It's going to be more complicated. It's like when a new phone comes out, it's going to be more complicated. Yeah. It's like, no, we're streamlining down things to make them so much easier. Yeah. But I had to ask that because I wondered that. And I wonder how Tesla goes about finding mechanics who, I'm sure now there's some being taught in school to work on electric cars, but there had to be that leap that you took and that a lot of other mechanics took.
So I was blessed to be the first employee at the Princeton, New Jersey's center there. And I kind of saw the loops that they went to of hiring because believe it or not, they didn't really like have many people come from a mechanic background working there. Like I worked with a guy that worked at Apple for 2 years. I worked with a guy that sold insurance for like 4 years. And here I am training them to turn a wrench, to take this tire off and remove the rim and stuff like that. And it's kind of like a hands-on team environment, how it was when I was working there. So like not necessarily guys had a mechanic background to work on Teslas. And I'm seeing some of these guys that I trained, they're going out there crushing it now. They're like A-plus mechanics now, diagnosing and test driving and being able to diagnose this sound and like that. It's like kind of amazing to see, but that goes to my point, how I feel as though working on Teslas are a lot easier than Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi, and Nissans and other brands that I work for. And it's like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool.
And when you work on a car brand specific and you work with multiple like you did, you then know what you think is a good product, right? Yeah. And I think for you, probably this was, you might not have had as much of an understanding. I mean, we were in Switzerland. Almost every single car was a Tesla, every single Uber. You know, I'm blown away how big the screen is inside the car.
Yep.
It needs to be. But it's so smart. It tells you everything that's going on outside and inside your car. Like it is, and it's not as distracting as you'd think. Like I thought, well, that's big.
I thought the same thing. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, there's no way this giant iPad is sitting in the middle of the car and not distract anybody. But it's not that distracting. It's actually...
It's not because it actually keys in with your peripherals and you don't have to look away at it. I can remember the development of car cameras and car technology.
Yeah.
There was a time where, I think it was Lexus, they were deciding and they tried it with like 1 year of cars where your screen actually was like a mirror up on your windshield. And I did not like that. I did not like that at all. Wow. But as they got smarter, like I love that the screen tells you what the speed limit is. Cause if you're like traveling or you're in an area you don't know and you're like looking for a speed limit sign, there's nothing worse. Cause if it's a 35 and you're doing 55, you kind of want to know. Yeah. But that's fascinating. So you are no longer a mechanic, Laquan.
No.
Correct?
No, I am not.
When did you make your departure and was it hard to let it go?
It wasn't hard to let go because honestly, I always thought of like leaving the business because I'm 31 and my body feels like it's 60 some mornings when I'm working and stuff like that. And it's like, I can't see myself doing this for the rest of my life. And when I started making content, I fell more in love with that versus working on cars. So I kind of made the decision a year ago, actually, just shooting my shot. You know, like I've been making content on Twitter for a while now. And like I worked for different fantasy companies, but I said, hey, why not? Let me apply for the NFL. You know, I have friends that work there, you know, and like 2 a.m., you know, on a random Wednesday, I'm like, screw it, I'm going to apply. And I just applied to the editorial research department. And 2 weeks later, I get an email back for a virtual interview. I'm like, wait, this has to be fake. There's no way I get the call back from the NFL. Like, there's no way. Like, come on. Like, I'm just some kid from Jersey. Like, there's no way this is real. And again, I go back and forth with my wife. I was like, this is no way this is real, right? She's like, oh my God, you have to do it. You have to do it. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then I do it. And I have this virtual interview and kind of answer some questions. They just want to test your knowledge of the game. And I feel as though I did good. And another 2 weeks go by, I get the phone call interview. And then from there, the rest is history. It just was like a smooth process. But the most difficult thing I had to do was move from New Jersey to California in a matter of 3 months. So that was kind of rough. I had to sell my house. My wife had to find, you know, job. My kids had to find schools. We had to find a good area in LA. Like, we'd never been to California. So it was definitely a process that I'm happy about, that I took the leap of faith. And I love it now. It's been my 1 year, you know, this past June, I want to say, where I just love my job. Like, I literally wake up and I absolutely love talking football, researching football. And even on the side, being able to contribute to NFL fantasy is amazing, because guys like Marcus and Florio and Rank and, you know, Patrick Claiborne, like, all these guys are like just normal guys that love talking ball. And that's like the atmosphere I want to be around every day.
Congratulations. That is an incredible success story. And when it comes to deciding, you know, we're going to move, it's not just about selling your house and finding what you need there. It's about letting go of some of the things, the comforts that you have. You know, your family's probably in New Jersey, I'm assuming. Like, you know, that makes it harder, but, and a big but, your kids can play outside all year long. Because that weather in California is so fantastic. And, you know, when I first moved there, so I lived there for 30 years. When I first moved there, that was the first thing I thought about. I would see kids bike riding, skateboarding at the beach, at the park, 12 months a year. And I'm like, wait a minute. These kids got to play outside all year. And all there's year so around. Many amazing nature things to do in California, whether it's just take a walk. But I think it's a great environment for kids. How have your kids and how has your wife liked the move?
I mean, the kids are loving it. They love every weekend we try to go to the beach or do something like the festivals. And like, they just love the sunlight. Like, nothing against Jersey, but we get all four seasons. Like, when it's snowing, we're in the house. We're keeping warm. But like, last Christmas, we were just at the beach and like, it felt weird. It was just like, how are people at the beach today? And it's Christmas, like, whatever, you know? And it's like, we were in the pool just the other day. It was a nice night and it was like 72, 74 degrees. And like, we're just hanging out at the pool. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I've done this in Jersey, if ever, you know? So like, the weather is definitely a plus. Like, that's definitely something that sold me for all year round, outside activities and stuff like that. And my wife, she absolutely loves it. Like, it's a dream to her. And like, she's looking to get into the nursing program here. And like, she's really like following her dreams as well out here, which is great. And like, there's more opportunities here, believe it or not. So like, I love that she loves it here, put it like that.
Well, yeah, because it's a huge responsibility when you ask your partner to move, to uproot their lives. And you're apprehensive, like, this could work really well for me, but what if she doesn't like it? I want her to be happy. And there is a ton more opportunity because there's a ton more growth in Southern California.
Yeah.
And, you know, you weigh out the weather with the traffic, right? But it, you know, because traffic can be brutal, but you just like, traffic is real. But I will tell you this, you get in all your podcasts. That's one thing I know about living in California. I never missed an episode. Okay. I was like, okay, I knew what time of the day it was by what I was listening to on fantasy sports radio. Like, I knew what show was coming on or if I was going to a podcast or whatever, but there's a trade-off there. And I think for the kids, it's a great place to grow up because there are so many things to do. And for you, this was a huge jump. I mean, going from one car to the Tesla was probably you spreading your wings and realizing, like, I can change.
Yeah, I can change.
And then coming there and getting hired by the NFL Network is just incredible because you wake up, you're like, I get to do this for a living, right?
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. Like, I still wake up some days like, I can't believe I'm going to the NFL Network office. Like, there's some days where I see people.
It's a
like,
cool office too.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, I see players like Steve Smith and, you know, Kurt Warner. I see all the people that, you know,
MJD, right? MJD is in there.
Oh my God. Like, Andrew Siciliano, Steve Weiss, like, all these guys like know me, they love me. And like, we're actually like friends. We have a relationship together. And it's like, these are like people I looked up to and like people I've watched on TV. And it's like, this can't be me. Like, not me, right? Like, and when am I going to wake up? Like, it's kind of one of those things where you just have to accept the blessing and just keep working and like keep pushing forward, because where I'm at now in my position, I honestly want to go higher. Like, I want to get on that big screen. I want to be able to tell, you know, the hundreds of thousands or millions of people of like the guy that is my guy this year for fantasy. Like, I just want to put my personality a little bit into my fantasy content, but on a bigger screen and on a bigger platform. So
that's, and you're working your way towards that. I mean, just the fact that you started out with a slow burn of like Facebook, yeah, Instagram, then went over to Twitter, you built your confidence and, you know, got to give it to the wife too for always telling you, yes, you are going to do this.
Yeah.
And you get to travel.
Yeah.
You get to travel. We just got to meet at the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the Fantasy Football Expo. That was my first year going, and I have to say, I will never miss it. That is such a fun event.
It is. It truly is. And it's gotten better every single year. Like every year I've come back, I've been gone in three of them. So it's like,
okay,
the first year I was like, oh my God, there's no way they can top it. The second year, oh my God, this was the best one yet. And then we just went to the last one. And it's like, no, this was top tier. And I feel like every year it just gets better and better because more people are coming and like they're seeing the fun that we're having that weekend. And like you get to meet so many great people. I met you, which was amazing. And like Des Bryant showed up, like, oh my God, like it just gets bigger and bigger.
And out of all the fantasy sports events I do, whether it's FSGA, you know, all the different conferences, this was really the first one where it's like, oh, I'm meeting everyone that sits in my live stream on my show, everyone that talks to me regularly on Twitter, people that I've invited into leagues that I only know from Twitter. I finally got to meet for the first time in person. I interviewed Bob Lung, the brains behind the Fantasy Football Expo. And he said when he started it in 2019, there were 70 some people there. This year, there were over 700 people there.
That's incredible, though. Like the just the growth, and like it just shows like the community just getting stronger and bigger at the same time, which is great.
And since I've been involved in 2013, the community has become a lot more diverse. I mean, there are very few women at the trade shows when I first started going. It was like me and Stacey Stern, and that was like it. And every once in a while, Stefania Bell from ESPN would come in. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, Stefania, there's three of us here now, you know? So it's grown. You're going back to Canton again this weekend. What will you be doing there for the NFL Network?
So the NFL will be hosting the Black Hall of Fame college game, and I'll be the researcher for the broadcast team over there with Bucky Brooks, Steve Weiss, Max Starks, and plenty more people. That it's going to be amazing. I mean, I want everybody to tune in Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern time, you know, to watch the game. It's Morehouse versus Virginia Union, and it's going to be a really good game.
Two trips there. I mean, you going back and forth to the Pro Football Hall. And what's that like doing the research for a live broadcast? Because I've sat in on broadcasts where there was a researcher and I was always amazed, like a player would make a catch. Next thing you know, they're feeding, okay, this kid's dad played tennis, you know, they're feeding all this info. I mean, it is, it is a crunch time job that I think most people don't understand how much is going on behind the scenes. So tell us what a day like that looks like, Laquan.
So it's a lot of moving parts. So you got to make sure that the talent have all the information that they need possible. And like, even when it's like something like this, where it's a game that we're doing play by play, I need to be on my toes to make sure, you know, if this kid is a notable player, I need to make sure all the information possible is front and center for the talent so they could just rip it off. And like, even then I get requests, you know, like, hey, maybe you can look up, you know, this team's, you know, record versus that. And I'll be able to do that really fast on the laptop. Or if I'm not able to have the resources, I will reach out to my other research team out there and see if they can back me up on this, which is great, which I love the department as well, because we're all just one, you know what I mean? Nobody's out there for their own. So a day like that, you're just basically prepping. Like, I've been prepping all this week, just getting all my notes together and hoping that, you know, I'm ready and prepared when it comes game day.
And how do you share it with the broadcast? Is it a Google Drive? Is it on a doc? Is it a separate piece of information?
I'm literally right there with the headset right next to them or a short distance away, and I'm feeding it through the headset and kind of just, you know, relaying what I found, or email, text, Slack, whatever the quickest way I can get it to them.
Sure.
Or print it out and put it on the script for them, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, because they can't have too many pieces of paper in front of them and you're shuffling things around, right?
There's some guys and gals that have a lot of going on the desk, and I'm like, can I clean this up? And they're like, no, just leave it. Because it's kind of like, they know it's there, so when they want to grab it, they'll grab it. But I try to keep it.
And everybody has their own system.
Exactly.
Everyone has their own system. Like, you look at the old school, way more paper.
Yep.
You look at the new school, way more devices, maybe an iPad, a backup phone, you know, something else. Like there's, so it's just new school, old school, but they're on, you know, and this will be what about a 4 or 5 hour live broadcast that you'll be feeding information to this weekend in Canton?
Yeah. I'm kind of sweating it now, but just about.
Yeah. But this is what you do. I mean,
this is what I love. And this is only going to get me better at my craft, and definitely being in research definitely helped me with my content and fantasy as well. So like I have the access to go deep dive and, you know, for X amount of hours on one player and be a little bit different than what's on the surface level of said player. So like I have that kind of advantage over, you know, most content creators, but I just want to help people the best way I can. The best advice I can give you, or even if, as the researcher in my department, I want to help the talent, you know, be better or than they were the last show. That's just basically my goal.
Do you go back and watch shows after you've been part of it?
Oh, God, yeah.
No, look, hey, when I started at SiriusXM, I took a couple classes, and one of the first things they say in the class is like, you should be going back and listening to your show. And all the guys in the room like squirmed. They were like, I can't listen to my voice. Yeah, I can't go back. Cringy. But you know what? It was the best thing I ever did. Yeah. Because in the beginning, you use the same words a lot. And so I realized I was saying 100 a lot, like, 100 or awesome or whatever. So what I decided to do was I would put post-its around my laptop of words that I overuse. And then once I used them, I would take the post-it off and throw it out. And that meant I couldn't use that word again. And it did help me. So you do have to go back. Going back and being a critic, it's so helpful. You just have to detach yourself from the emotions of like, oh, I didn't like that angle, or oh, I didn't like that, what that looked like. But it's like, oh, here's a little area where I could have been a little bit more clear. Here's something that I learned later. And once you do that, you never forget.
No, you don't. And that's definitely one of the tools I used, like just starting to do camera presence and content, was kind of stop saying the same words. And like, I used to look in the mirror and kind of recite like what I want to say in the mirror just to see my facial expressions and make sure I'm not having like a resting bitch face or anything like that while I'm saying something, because I get that from my mom a lot. Like I worked on that a lot, but it's like one of those techniques that definitely help you out in your craft and it makes you a better content creator. So shout out to you. I'm going to have to use that.
Yeah, when I got my first phone job, I remember my mom telling me that when you answer the phone, you should be smiling as you're talking. And I thought that was crazy. But it's similar to what you're saying. Like, it just gives that different energy out there. And you want to be sure that you're not overthinking the content that you want to spit out. And you look really serious. You want to have fun with it. And that's the great thing about the NFL, the fantasy sports space, even, you know, fantasy NBA. We all have fun when we're doing this. So it can be a little bit silly. It doesn't have to be quite as serious, but this is just something that we passionately love. Now we are in a draft together next week.
Let's go.
You are in how many fantasy football leagues this season?
Oh God. I mean, I'm in too many to count, to be honest. There's a lot there. I would have to like
over 20.
We're up there. I would have to open my phone and like really just count, because it's like, damn, I did it again. Like I always tell myself every year, like, let's cut it down. And then I cut it down and I just jump in more leagues, and it's the psychopath.
Yeah, because somebody reaches out to you like, hey, we got this spot to fill, and you do it, right? You know,
but no, it's like when people reach out, I really want to be in a league with them, and I really want to, you know, just see their little strategies or talk trades with them or just talk shit, you know, like I like doing that.
I mean, also for us who are collecting data for content, I find that the being in a lot of leagues, yes, it is a lot of work. And you have to, like, this weekend, every Labor Day weekend, I draw my guidebook up to remind myself of like the one or two leagues that I have on some random sites that don't even have an app where, you know, you actually got to use your, you know what I'm saying? Like there's those sites, or they have an app, but it's too difficult.
Yeah.
So, and you got to have like your hit list, like, okay, I have the most on Yahoo, then I go to NFL, then I go to ESPN. Because you got to get your rhythm going, right? It's like reps. But being in this many leagues, as wild as it may sound to the average person who only plays in one or two, for you or I, it is homework. It is homework to look at the waiver wire and see who's getting thrown back, who's getting picked up. You know, if you're in any fab leagues, you know, it's great content to talk about what somebody spent on a player.
Yeah.
You know, so for us, this is just part of our job.
Mm-hmm. It really is, because like that's why I was okay being in so many leagues to start, because it kind of gave me a different idea of like how to make content out of FAB, how to make content out of waiver wires, how to, you know, go approach this player of like how he's been every single week versus, you know, some like somebody like Gabe Davis. I never had shares of him ever until last year. So I've always was talking down about him, but I was like, let me see what it looks like to actually be a fantasy manager, to have him on my roster. And it was hell. It was a headache, as like yeah. I would expect.
You had one really good game at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's it. And then it's like, all right, well, that sucks.
And that's when you should have started to put the trade things out. Yeah, hey, anybody. But I do the same. And you look at a player and you think about how good or bad it feels to put him in your lineup each week. Yeah. And why am I apprehensive? And why am I overthinking the lineup? Where there's other players where it's like, you know, you're going to put him in your lineup. You're not even thinking about Nick Chubb. Of course, he's sitting there until his bye week. You know what I mean? Which is bye week five. Because I have now memorized the bye weeks because I've been in so many drafts. Okay. Crazy as that sounds. Do you do any sports betting?
No, I can't, unfortunately, working for the NFL. So I stay far away.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, I stay far away from that. I saw what happened to Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, of course. A year off for less than, you know, $2,000. But hey, yeah. I mean, that's fair. Yeah. And it's fine for you because you're in enough fantasy leagues and you have enough other stuff going on. You don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But Laquan, no. I love that you got to move to California and take your family and your beautiful children
and show them
something different, because it is a risk.
It is. It is. It's definitely a risk. And I'm thankful I made that risk and made that leap, because it's definitely setting them up for success. And that's kind of what I live by. Like, I just want to put people in the right position, put myself in a position where I could be successful. And I think LA will be that. I mean, the sunshine. I mean, the food is, I have a little issue with the food, but you know.
What are you missing out the most?
Oh my God.
I mean, I didn't eat pizza in California.
See, that's what I'm
Mulberry
missing.
Street. Okay, you have to go to Mulberry Street. So look Mulberry it up. There's Street. One in the Valley. There's a couple in LA. There's one in Sherman Oaks. There's one in Encino. She ships the water in from New York. So it's the most New York pizza you will have on the West Coast.
I'm going to look that up.
What else are you missing?
So I'm missing bagels. I'm missing pizza, obviously. And I mean, like, the bagels are kind of hit or miss here, because I've actually recently had a good bagel from here. I forget from where, but that was tough to deal with.
It's
that.
It's the water.
And it's like the basic things like cheese steaks, man, the chopped cheese. Like, I'm missing all these things that I used to eat daily and not really understanding. Like, man, I really miss those things.
Okay, because in California, there's way more healthy food
than
there is all of the East Coast heavy food. Because remember, you don't get a winter there. So you're not putting on big clothes and a big coat. No. You got to put on that 20 pounds. Everyone is staying in shorts and potentially a hoodie in the evening. You know what I mean? So people just eat different, but you're right. It's the heavy foods. Like, even when I moved, I remember looking around for like mozzarella sticks. And I was like, why doesn't anyone have mozzarella sticks? But no good pizza, no good bagels. It's all the weather, but look what you've done with your life and this story that you're going to be able to share with your children of, you know, starting out in one walk of life and then taking this big leap. Now working with the NFL Network is so massively, incredibly huge. And Laquan, you deserve it. I've loved following you. So glad we got to meet this year. Everyone's going to give you a follow at Real Deal Fantasy. See all of your work at NFL Network, NFL Fantasy, Downtown Rams, and Rotoballer.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite, Lisa. This was amazing. And hopefully I can come back and we can chop it up again.
Well, you'll be back on my Wednesday night show with Howard Bender, because we'll be talking. We have a weekly matchup. You'll pop on. We'll talk about the matchup.
That'll be awesome.
I know I'll watch this game and think about you feeding all the stats back there. But congratulations to you. And thanks for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Laquan has such a story. The fact that he was a mechanic, the fact that he just decided to send the email. He creates great content, so he does deserve it. The fact that he made the approach 2 weeks later, gets the call back for the interview, 2 weeks later, another interview, and moves his family, and they're incredibly happy. It's another story of someone following their passion, whatever your passion may be. It is not that out of reach, and I hope each one of these stories that I'm sharing with you inspires you and reminds you. And also for those of us who are doing what we want to do, it's just a celebration to see other people doing the same. And just the people that I've met that are also laser focused in on one thing, and that's sports, and how our hobby of watching games actually has become an actual real existence. Your hobby of watching games could become a real existence as well with Ticket Rev. Go to the Ticket Rev app. You can download it today. Ticket Rev just partnered with Teams. Jason Schatzky, who was here on my podcast last year, who I think I need a follow-up interview with because of all of the new things and new ways that Ticket Rev is getting involved with sports, is fascinating. Jason has this concept. He is brilliant. His team put together Ticket Rev. Follow them on social media at Ticket Rev. You can learn more at the site at ticketrev.com. It is a new way to buy and sell tickets. And for those of us who know where we want to be in the stadium, arena, what have you, and what our budget is, this is the ideal way for you to search for tickets. So check out Ticket Rev today. Go to ticketrev.com and learn more. It's the moment you've been waiting for. And though I have one person who sent multiple emails, they are all very good emails. So we're doing a show of mailbag with just this one person. And that is coming up. Be a part of the mailbag. Ask me a question. Ask LisaAnn at gmail.com. You can ask me anything except out on a date or anything weird. I mean, you can ask me a lot of things. Now, today's emails all came in separately from my friend DK. DK and I play in some fantasy leagues. We've been working together on Fantrax. I think we were in some best ball leagues together. But DK sent questions. And what was cool is instead of sending them all in one email, they were separate emails. So they could be separate email questions. So I pulled three because they tie in so well with my conversation with Laquan Jones, with me and all of the things I've got going on. Thank you, DK, for sending these questions. The first one is right here. Is there any parts slash aspects of the business that you are still active in your life? Do you have any regrets by being involved in the business? So first of all, I do not believe in living in regrets. So I have no regrets because had I not taken that path, I obviously wouldn't be right here. All of the things that I've done have layered on and tied in with the next things that I'm doing. So I do not regret being in the industry. I did not, of course, foresee the internet changing the way the industry existed, but that's here nor there, and that's an out of my control situation. And those who know me know I do not worry about anything out of my control. So are there any parts or aspects of the business that are still active in your life? There are many, because being LisaAnn is like full circle, kind of everything encompasses this, right? I have my own ecosystem with the name LisaAnn. And I would say half of the brand right now is in communications, whether it's sports broadcasting with Better Sports Network and Fantasy Alarm, whether it's my podcast, LisaAnn Experience right here. And then the other half of the streams of income that I still have coming in through the adult industry. There are some passive streams of income that I set up before I left the industry. So that's distribution on my product that I produced myself. That's my website that I created the content for myself. And then I also still use OnlyFans as a library for all of the content that I own, as well as a place to communicate in the messages with my fans. So I have a lot of sports fans. So I will say like I realize I check the messages more during the football season because I get more sports related messages and I feel like we could talk forever. And it's cool because if I'm busy, I can just do voice notes instead of typing, which can be so seamless. So there are many aspects. And then there's the appearance aspect. I still get offered to go to different countries and be LisaAnn. So there's fans that know me from all over the world. The content that I created is not time sensitive. So as I'm no longer active in the industry shooting, creating content, I am still active in accumulating new fans. So it's still this kind of moving parts, right? It's still very much is part of that ecosystem of me. This year, I went to Greece for an event to do an appearance. Last year, I went to Switzerland to do an event. I also still do all of the Exotica shows. We've got November, New Jersey Exotica, which is in Edison, New Jersey. December, DC Exotica, which is actually in Virginia, right on the border. So I still do those events. So I host at Sapphire 39 every Thursday night for football season. I've hosted a ton of events at Sapphire in Las Vegas as well. So there's still this part of me that really celebrates the life that helped me create the life that I'm living now. Because there's a sense of gratitude that if I didn't take that chance and I didn't buy that one-way ticket from Pennsylvania to California and get into the industry to get myself to a place of financial wellness where I could begin to better myself, to learn more, to explore more, to experience the world. You know, if you've read my books, The Life or The Life Back, you'll know that I had three things that I wrote as my kind of like 16 years old. This is what I want out of life. Everybody was like, all my girlfriends like, I want to get married and have kids. And I want to do this. Mine was like, I wanted to travel and see the world. I wanted to be financially independent. And I wanted to make my own schedule. Those were the three things. And I think it's because my parents didn't travel. My mom was not financially independent. My dad was, my mom was not. And my parents both worked like crazy and did not have a hold of their own schedules. So obviously those three things were things that I observed. I also watched my grandparents have their own business that was very successful and make their own schedule that they really enjoyed. And when they made their schedule, they planned it around other friends that they were going to meet up at campgrounds with or go to see family or whatever. And I saw two completely different worlds between the examples of my parents who were workers for other people and of my grandparents who were workers for themselves. I saw a different level of satisfaction with my grandparents and also the ability to just create, right? To just create a space in the world that worked for them as a couple that they could do together and take their dog in the motorhome and be, you know, on the go delivering greeting cards. So all of these things factor in. So when I think about where I went to, which was realizing that I wasn't college educated, there was no other job that was going to get me to travel and see the world, the money in the industry. Like there were so many things that I observed that led me to my studies for 2 years of getting into the industry. So I don't have regrets, and I do still have half of my existence as everything Lisa Ann, and then the other half of my existence as everything communicator Lisa Ann forward past the industry. So it's a great mix, and they both really feed each other well because the travel and events that I get to do help me grow the sports and communication side, and all of these things work really well together. And I am in awe on the regular of how well everything works together and how everyone understands. I still want to be at strip clubs hosting, but I'm going to host a Thursday night football game, or I'm going to host a Monday night football game, because I'm tying both of my worlds in together. And I still want to be present. I think it's very important for me to be present in the eyes of anyone new in the industry, whether it's dancing or performing, whatever it is they're doing, to show them how great your life can be if you do the right things and if you have a little bit of a plan of how you're going to move forward. I wouldn't be able to follow my passion and do what I'm doing now if I was really worried about money as much as I would have been if I didn't start in this side of the world. So great question there, DK. Second question. What kind of challenges did you face leaving the business? And what inspired you to pursue the sports media route? Well, I pursued sports media before I retired from the business. In 2013, my boss now, who was my then boss at SiriusXM, had had a fantasy football show with Playboy Playmates. The show had broken up, and he was looking to have another female voice. He was looking for something fun for fantasy football, and he knew my producer in LA that was putting together my show on Spice Radio. Then it was like Vivid Radio, then Spice Radio. It changed. Playboy Radio. I did a show called Stripper Town. And I did that show for quite a few years. It was on Monday nights. And so during the football season, fans knowing that we had no TV in that studio would call and get through my producer and would tell me what was going on in the Monday night game. And it eventually became very real to my producer that I knew what I was talking about. When I was on the road feature dancing 40 to 50 weekends a year, I visited every sports radio show. I would do my homework so I knew about their home team. And it just became a natural kind of like, this could be a next step. So Matt and my boss from LA had a conversation. My boss came to me and said, you should go meet Matt. I came to meet Matt in New York City in May of 2013 and did my first kind of, I looked for an apartment. I wanted to be close to the studio. I wanted to be in studio. I wanted the gift of walking into that beautiful building and being in a real studio at SiriusXM to have an employee badge, to do all the things I never thought I would get to do. And I took that summer to study because I told Matt, hey, I don't know fantasy football, but I know sports and I know football, and I'll just go to all my friends that play fantasy and I'll learn everything I need to know about it. That summer, I read every single book on how fantasy football started, how the rotisserie leagues went, dynasty baseball, dynasty football. I went down the rabbit hole and I did my first show in September of 2013. That from there just really made things grow, because by the time I retired in 2014, by 2015, I started reaching out to some of those shows that I did radio spots with when I was on the road feature dancing. And I asked them, could I come on and do a free 15, 20 minute spot on Fridays? I'm putting together a radio tour called Fantasy Football Fridays. One of the shows in Houston was given to me by my friend Matt, College Game Day Matt. And he introduced me because he was doing an internship there. And he was like, hey, I'm interning at the station. I think it'd be a great spot for your Fantasy Football Friday hits. I should introduce you. And now I've become great friends with everyone. So the transition was while I was still in. And when it comes to challenges, leaving the business, I'm going to leave that to my book, The Life Back. Because in The Life Back, I open with the major challenges that I faced. Now you can listen on audiobook. You can get it on your Kindle, your e-reader, or you can get it from my store at shoplisaann.com. But that is going to give you really the everything that I went through. And it's an important open, and it is a long story, but there were some hiccups, but I stayed the course. Anytime you're changing something about you, you have to remember that you wanted to make this change. You have to remember that you're doing it for you. So if you're doing it for the accolades of others, or if you're doing it and you worry about other people's negative interactions with you as you're doing it, it's going to be very difficult. Of course, there were people that were mad that I was getting out of the industry. Of course, there were people that said horrible things to me. But I knew what my mission was. And after I signed my second contract in 2014 with SiriusXM, I knew, hey, they're giving me a second contract. I'm making something of this. I'm sticking with it. And I absolutely love it. And you can join me every Wednesday night. We live stream on YouTube at Better Network and at Fantasy Alarm. It's an awesome show. My co-host Howard Bender is a killer guy. Ton of fun. We love it. So you can join the chat as well. So every Wednesday night. Last question from DK. See, these all tied really well with Laquan, with you know, everything. What challenges have you faced as a woman in sports media, and do you have a plan towards making any changes in that department? I think the industry itself has opened up and adapted in an incredible way. So I don't think there's really changes needed to be made when it comes from the within, because I think everyone within is, look how much more inclusive everything is that we're watching when it comes to the sports world. So I think the industry itself is doing all the right things and making all the right moves and making them stick. On the other side, it's the outside noise. It's social media. It's people, it's men who say horrible things to women. We saw Alexander Madison got an absolute horrible post sent to him after the last game. I do not worry about things that are out of my control. With that said, unhappy people are going to say unhappy things. This took me years to get here. This is why I no longer troll trolls. New Year's resolution this past year was not get into it with people. Just block them. And my biggest fear is Elon Musk getting rid of Block, of course, but I will still ignore. I will not engage, because what I realized was I'm taking time away from somebody that I could be having a positive and productive engagement with, and I'm consuming my energy on something negative. So I think the step to make changes is for us to all stick together. Now, look, I even block people that I see make nasty comments to my other female friends in broadcast. Or to my other friends in broadcast, because I'm like, you know what? That's my person. If you're saying something like that to that person, you're obviously eventually going to say it to me. More so, what if you're nice to me and you're not nice to that person? I don't want to be in your alliance if you're not nice to the person that's in my alliance. So I think the most important thing we can all do is work really diligently to just remove that toxic element from the space of any media, whether it's sports media, whatever it may be. It comes at women, but it comes at all people. So the challenges are really just the crazy things that people will say to you on social media and how people will interact with you and assume that maybe because you're a woman, you don't know, but that's on them. And once you carry this attitude, you no longer notice as much. You don't even see it. You almost breeze by things. You're like, oh, okay, whatevs. You know, now it's not a factor, because what matters is the people that are supporting me, the people that I am supporting, my team at Better Sports Network, my team when it comes to my life, Kay, with my podcast. Like, my people are what matters. I can't control the rest, but I love how the industry has adapted and how much better it's grown since I got involved in 2013. And I'm so happy to still be here. Don't forget to follow our friend Laquan Jones. He is absolutely brilliant. On Twitter, it's Real Deal Fantasy. On Instagram, it's Laquan Jones NFL. And don't forget to check out Ticket Rev, because they had a big announcement last week, which is going to impact so many new options for tickets. Download the Ticket Rev app today. I will be at Sapphire 39 Thursday night watching the game, as I am every Thursday night for the entire NFL season. I will also be at Exotica in New Jersey in November, Exotica DC in December. Make sure you're following my profiles at The Real Lisa Ann. Do not fall for imposters, because there are a lot of them. I do not private message. I do not send message requests. So if you're getting one of those, that's not from me. So just stick with across the board, The Real Lisa Ann, and you should be good. Check out my audiobook, my ebooks, or a personally autographed copy of my books from me, from my store at shoplisaann.com. You can also get them from Amazon, but check them out, because The Life Back really tells the detailed story of the journey and the struggles, the trials and tribulations of everything I faced from getting out of the industry to about 2020, that chunk of time where I was really planting my feet in this wonderful space of fantasy sports and sports betting. And here I am, and I am here to stay, just like this podcast, just like all of you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for listening to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.